So I want to ask you a very important question. What am I talking about today?
You tell us.
Me tell you. I wouldn't ask you if I knew, huh?
You're just talking about tamales.
I'm talking about tamales. How's that? That's good. Now, today's one of those things where it'll be what it is, okay? Because it's all week long, I've been looking at stuff and looking at books and listening to books on tape, and it's like just nothing. And I was reading in a book last night, and it said, sometimes you just need to shut up and let things happen. It's like, okay, if we're going to walk by faith, we'll have to walk by faith, right? And so as I said into my computer in there, a few things came to my mind, and one of those was about a book that was called Not What I Expected. And it was the result of a survey or a question that was put out to Ernest Hemingway to sum up his life in 6 words. And I thought, in 6 words. And what he came up with, it says, baby shoes for sale, never used. Don't know what the rest of it means. Maybe he had no family. Maybe he had nothing. But he summed up as that. Baby shoes for sale, never worn. And what happened, though, was it was on the internet. And it got the site got so flooded with entries and people sending in the same responses, it almost crashed the site. And so some of them were really funny. Some of them were not so funny. Some of them were kind of on the sad side. And one of them said, one tooth, one cavity, life's cruel. Well, so one tooth, one cavity. Is it worth really saving? Okay. The psychic said I'd be richer. Now, psychics, that's an interesting topic, isn't it? Now, if you're going to go see a psychic, why would you need an appointment if she knows you're going to come? Right? Yeah. Another one was, I thought I'd have more impact on things. And one headstone says, headstone won't say had health insurance. Okay. And then one said, not a good Christian, but trying. And the one that struck me the most was, cursed with cancer, blessed with friends. From a 9-year-old boy who had thyroid cancer. Okay. How would you sum up your life in 6 words?
I didn't do it.
He did it in less than 6. Yeah? But we have things in our life. And what I heard was if you could sum up some of the biblical characters. Abraham, what would he say? Left Ur, had a baby, still laughing. Okay. Jonah, no, storm, overboard, regurgitated, yes. Abraham, Adam, eyes opened, but can't find home. Esau, at least the stew was good. But what they found, what researchers have found, is that the average human being makes 70 conscious decisions a day. 70 conscious decisions a day. And those can vary in a lot of different ways. But if you add that up, it's 25,550 decisions a year. And if you live to be 70, which I'm getting close, you're going to make 1,788,506 decisions. And if you look at those decisions, that's what makes up your life, isn't it? A lot of the decisions we have to make are based on doors we have to go through. And in literature, doors are very symbolic. And they're very powerful. Because doors represent a lot of things. Okay? Doors represent security. You're behind a locked door. Okay? And you're also rejection Secrecy, excuse me. My brain, the words are right here, but I can't read them. Secrecy, because nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. Okay? Rejection, she slammed the door in my face. And privacy, a young mother with children withdraws to the bathroom where she can shut the door and have some time alone. Okay? So we can have all those things. And there are doors in Scripture. And God gives us doors to go through that help form our life. And we have to make decisions as we go through those doors. Now, we have doors back there. If you've never been through those doors, they're kind of mysterious because you don't know what's going to be on the other side of that door. And if God puts the door back there and it's closed, it's really not that scary because it's closed. But if that door's open, then what's in can come out, but you can go in. You can go in there, okay? And so I went through the Bible and I picked out some passages that talk about doors, okay? Revelation 3, 7 and 8. This is Jesus talking. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. In other words, he has the keys of authority. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So he says, I have placed before you an open door. Now you notice he doesn't tell us what's on the other side of the door. Doesn't say go through the door. But if I place before you an open door and say, I have placed before you an open door, isn't that kind of an invitation to go through? And go through Scripture. How often does God really tell somebody to stay where you are and do nothing? Huh? Yeah? Stay where you are and do nothing. Be quiet and still. God tells you that. But mostly it's like, go. Do something. You know? He told Abraham, leave your home in Ur and go to where I'll tell you. Now, doesn't tell him how far it is. Doesn't tell him where it is. He says, go to the land I'm going to show you. Now, one thing about Ur at the time, this was 2,000 years before Christ, Ur at the time was the hubbub of business. It was kind of like the New York of its time. It's where everything was happening. Things were discovered there. Things were developed there. Things were happening there. And so for God to say, I want you to leave this metropolis, this thriving thing, and I want you to go off to Magna. It sounds exciting to me, but then I've lived in Magna, and it's like, okay, don't drink the water, okay? It's the hardest water I've ever seen in my life, okay? But he says, I stand before you, I put before you an open door, and I know you have little strength. Do you ever have those days when you just don't have any strength? Yesterday was one of those days for me. Like I said, I was going through this. What am I talking about? And it was like I woke up ready to take a nap. You know, and it was like, okay, I can't quite get going here. It happened all day long. But it was one of those things where I had to go do things. I have a wedding today at 5 o'clock up in Layton, and I had a rehearsal last night at 5 o'clock up there. So I had to go, even though I wanted to take a nap. But I did. I went. And so here is God saying, I'm putting before you an open door. It's kind of a challenge. But again, it's kind of scary because you don't know what's on the other side. Ever had a scary door?
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to share? No? Okay. Just trying to see if they've got somebody you're supposed to add to my talk here. Okay? But we have doors. And God can open, like say, a door for anybody. In 1 Corinthians 16, 8, and 9, Paul is writing, he says, but I will stay in Ephesus until Passover, Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. So here Paul's saying, God has opened a great door for effective work, but there are many who oppose me. Anybody ever had anybody oppose you? Yeah. I mean, I think pretty much all of us have. You know, when I first became pastor here, well, not first, but maybe shortly afterwards, some people came to church who opposed me. Gary's back there going, yeah, I remember that. Yep. And one guy came in and he was buying the church gifts. We wanted, you know, we needed speakers, so we went out and got speakers and all this other stuff. And I recognized, and I told Gary and some other people who were here at the time, I said, this is what he's going to do. He's going to go here, 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 here. Is that right? And right down the line. And he came into the church one day and he said something, and Gary says, wait a minute. Come with me. And they walked around and he gathered up all the stuff he had given, helped him carry it out to his car, and he says, no, thank you. Because his whole goal was to get rid of me. That was his goal. Just to get rid of me. We had another woman that came in. She bragged about she'd been on board of directors to get rid of the pastor before. And again, she was told, no, you're not going to play that game here. So doors open. But you face opposition. And again, God can open a door for anybody. He opened a door for Abraham. Okay? And he opened that door for Abraham when Abraham was what? 75 years old? Now, God opened a door for me when I was younger, when I was only 26. I was a missionary up in New York. At least he told me what the door was. I was supposed to be a minister. That was in 1972. Did I drag my feet?
Yeah.
Was I scared of what's behind the door? Yeah, even though I was doing it. I drugged my feet until 1991. And I started classes. I went to school. I graduated from the seminary thing in 2002 when I was ordained. Did I drag my feet? Yeah, because I knew what it was going to be like. I was working here. I knew what hazards there were. I knew what obstacles there were. Some people think that when you know what the door is, it's all going to be a piece of cake. It's not. It's not. Sometimes the door is bolted and you smash your nose trying to go through. But God opens a door to people all the time. Abraham left Ur. And look what happened. He became the father of nations, even though he didn't have a kid till he was way, 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 way old. 100. How many of you would like to have a baby at 100? I wouldn't. Oh, you would like to have a baby at 100? Okay. Here she is. No, you know. But the Lord opens doors for us. And we have to make the decisions of what's going to take place. And 2 Corinthians 2:12, again, Paul writes, he says, now I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me. Again, he found that the Lord had opened the door. Notice that these doors are open. We didn't have to open them. I didn't place before you a closed door that you have little strength to open. He says, no, I know you have a little strength, so I'm going to open the door for you. I'm going to open that door for you. But you've got to take the initiative to walk through it. You've got to take the initiative to face what's going on there. Colossians 4, 3:3. I pray and pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Here Paul says, pray that God will open the door. Not that we'll open it, but that God will open it. But even when God opens it, again, you have to make the decision. Because what's God really interested in? In us. In our character. Will we learn to make wise decisions? Will we learn to live how we're supposed to? Now, think about it. If you had a child, some of you do. Do you want that child to stay little and for you to have to make every decision for that child? What to wear to work, what car to buy, what house to buy, who to marry, you know? Do you want the Lord to have to make every decision for your children? Are you to have to make every decision for your children? No. And God doesn't want to do that either. God wants to guide us and direct us. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to guide and direct and help us along the way. But we have to learn how to make the decisions. And we have to learn how to make smart decisions. Now, I've told you many times, I made so many stupid decisions in my life, you can't believe it. But the thing of it is, if we're going to learn how to make right decisions, we've got to make wrong ones. You know? I was financially up to here years ago because I made a lot of stupid decisions. Trying to impress my boyfriend. We went to Hawaii for 2 weeks. Spent over $3,000 on a card with a $700 limit. That was back before they checked it, when you're checked out. You can't do that now. I got home and my bank called me a little bit and he goes, hi, looks like you went to Hawaii. I said, yeah. He goes, looks like you had a good time. And I went, yeah. He says, yeah, you're about $2,300 over your limit. So we went down there and talked, and he had me look over the list of everything that was bought. I says, no, I think there's a couple more things coming in. He called me a week later and said, yeah, we got them. Thank God they were merciful, and they said, as long as you pay 5% of your balance, you're fine. 5%. Do you know how much 5% of $3,000 is? Nothing paid off in interest. You pay a $120 payment, you pay off $5 worth of the principal. Everything goes to interest. Everything. When I got down to the point where I could start paying, do you know how much money I spent on interest? Tons of money. Yeah, I could have 2 new cars, you know. Poor, 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 poor decisions. Buying things I couldn't afford and really didn't need. Because at one point I had 3 cars. Did I need 3 cars? Of course, I had to have my Jeep for the mountains, my car, my luxury car to drive around, and my sports car for having fun. Yeah, I had to have 3 cars. But God was aware of my stupidity and my desire to do better, and he opened some doors for me that helped me through the situation. Okay? But Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus saw my problem. And he says, I stand at the door and I knock. But if you'll open the door, I'll come in. And I'll eat with you and you'll eat with me.
That's different than the one you were just talking about, though. That was him waiting for you to open the door and not you. Him opening the door for you.
Right, right. Yeah. But it's both ways, you know. I got the blessing. I recognized I needed the door opened, you know. and wanted it that way. And in Revelation 4:1, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. Okay? And the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." So he's saying, "Come up, and I'll show you. Come up, Heather, and I'll show you what it's like to stand and talk to the congregation. You want to?" Why not? You know what it's like? You sure? Because I'm going to give you a scripture. Sure.
That's it?
Uh-huh. The last one.
All right. Acts 14:27. On arrival there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles.
Okay. So tell us about that. She hasn't had a chance to prepare, has she? Because she didn't know she was going to be doing that. But she was brave enough to come up and stand here and read a scripture. We have to have that faith, because I told her I'd have a scripture, so she believed me, mm-hmm. Right? And do you believe I'm not going to make a fool of you? Mm-hmm. Good. Go ahead. Okay? But see, the thing is, doors get open, and we don't recognize sometimes what they are. Because I didn't tell her what she was going to... Did I tell you I had a scripture for you to read, didn't I? I didn't. Until you got here. And yeah, I did. Okay? But God may tell us and God may not tell us. But the whole thing is, do we trust that wherever God's going to take us, it's going to be okay? And it's going to be what God wants. And it might be scary. And it might not be what we want. Because I know there's a lot of things that I still want. And God says, really? Really? Last night, I wanted to know what the heck I was talking about today. And I kept saying, I'm ready. I'm not hearing anything. But I had faith enough to show up for church today. I came in and I... Barry was asking me, what are you talking about? I said, I don't know.
How many times did
I ask? And he says, yes, you do. And I said, no, I don't. And I thought, I'm going to go in and see what music they're singing. It might give me a clue what I'm thinking, talking about today. Nope, not a clue. Didn't help. But the door was there. And I showed up. And I sat down on my computer and I started looking for scriptures that had door in them. I thought, okay, Lord, you have doors. You have doors. And you know what? Sometimes those doors are shut. And they're shut for a reason. Because the Lord's saying, no. No, it's the wrong choice. And we'll make them. It's kind of like the guy who died and went to heaven. And he got up there, and St. Peter is there. And there's a door that's marked heaven and a door that's marked hell. And St. Peter gets up there and he goes, I'm here. And he goes, well, go ahead and go where you want to go. And he goes, what? He goes, I'm busy right now. Just go where you're supposed to go, where you want to. And the guy says, no, you tell me where to go. And St. Peter goes, no, I'm busy right now. You can just go where you want. And the guy shook his head and walked through the door marked hell. Because that's what he thought he belonged. And St. Peter was saying, go where you want to. Which door would you walk through? Which door would be there? Which door is open? I mean, the door to hell's there. You want to walk through it? No. But are you afraid to walk through the other one thinking God might think you're arrogant? I hope not. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So you have no fear of walking through that gate marked heaven. Because you don't belong there? No, you do. You do. We take communion a little bit. Some churches you go to, you have to prove yourself worthy to take communion. Well, honey lamb, you ain't going to prove yourself worthy other than showing your Jesus badge. He says, I've accepted him. I've accepted him. That's it. We have doors. And we're going to be asked to go through doors. And we're going to be asked to choose doors. And God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us make wise decisions as we do it. Because God will let us walk through a door. Trust me. I know. I've seen more doors than you want to see. You know? He'll let you. But he'll also guide you. And in the case of like in the Philippi, the church in Philippi, they didn't have the strength. So he opened the door. I place before you an open door. And Paul says, pray for us that God will open a door for there. Other times he said, I want to go there, but the Spirit's blocking me. We have to be open to it all, accepting and rejecting. And God's helping us to make smart decisions in our lives. Some of us, it takes longer. It took me years, 10, 12 years. I loved every minute of it. Yeah. I thought I did. Yeah. 9 years or two full-time jobs? No. So, that's your message. There are doors. God's going to give them to you. Some of them will be open, some of them will be closed. But God wants to teach us faith in him and trust in him, first and foremost. And to have character and make wise decisions. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. Thank you for everything you provide. Thank you for everything that you do in our lives and for us and with us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you gave us. Lord, we want to do our best. And if we're doing our best, Lord, we wouldn't need your Holy Spirit. But we try. But Lord, the reality is we just need to stop and relax. Trust you. And let you guide. And let you lead us. And give us the strength, Lord, to walk through those doors. And Lord, if we're too weak to open them, help us to do that. And Lord, help us also to help others who are having struggles. Because you put us here, Lord, to work together, not individually. Help us to be smart and work together and do what you want us to do. So I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your guidance and direction. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus' sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.